6 whole days we rode, 6 nights, non-stop. On the 7th day we raised the Laestrygonian land, Telepolis Heights, where the craggy fort of Lammas rises, where shepherd calls to shepherd as one drives in his flocks, and the other drives his out, and he calls back in answer, where a man who never sleeps could rake in double wages, one for herding cattle, one for pasturing fleecy sheep. The nightfall and the sunrise march so close together. We entered a fine harbour there, all walled around by a great unbroken sweep of skyscraping cliff, and two steep headlands fronting each other, close around the mouth so the passage in is cramped. Here the rest of my rolling squadron steered, right into the gaping cove and moored tightly, prow by prow. Never a swell there, big or small, a milk-white calm spreads all around the place. But I alone anchored my black ship outside, well clear of the harbour's jaws. I tied her fast to a cliffside with a cable. I scaled its rock face to a lookout on its crest, but glimpsed no trace of the work of man or beast from there. All I spied was a plume of smoke drifting off the land. So I sent some crew ahead to learn who lived there, men like us, perhaps, who live on bread. 2 good mates I chose, and a 3rd to run the news. They disembarked and set out on a beaten trail the wagons used for hauling timber down to town from the mountain heights above. And before the walls they met a girl drawing water, Antiphates' strapping daughter, king of the Laestrygonians. She'd come down to a clear running spring, Aptatia, where the local people come to fill their pails. My shipmates clustered round her, asking questions. Who was king of the realm? Who ruled the natives here? She waved at once to her father's high-roofed halls. They entered the sumptuous palace, found his wife inside, a woman huge as a mountain crag who filled them all with horror. Straight away she summoned Royal Antiphates from assembly, her husband, who prepared my crew a barbarous welcome. Snatching one of my men, he tore him up for dinner. The other 2 sprang free and reached the ships, but the king let loose a howling through the town that brought tremendous Laestrygonians swarming up from every side, hundreds, not like men, like giants. Down from the cliffs they flung great rocks a man could hardly hoist, and a ghastly shattering din rose up from all the ships, men in their death cries, hulls smashed to splinters. They speared the crews like fish and whisked them home to make their grisly meal. But while they killed them off in the harbour depths, I pulled the sword from beside my hip and hacked away at the ropes that moored my blue proud ship of war, and shouted rapid orders at my shipmates, "Put your backs in the oars! Now row or die!" In terror of death they ripped the swells, all as one, and what a joy as we darted out toward open sea, clear of those beetling cliffs. My ship alone. But the rest went down en masse. Our squadron sank. From there we sailed on, glad to escape our death, yet sick at heart for the dear companions we had lost. We reached the Aeaean island next, the home of Circe, the nymph with lovely braids, an awesome power too, who can speak with human voice, the true sister of murderous-minded Aeetes. Both were bred by the sun who lights our lives. Their mother was Perse, a child the ocean bore. We brought our ship to port without a sound, as a god eased her into a harbour safe and snug, and for 2 days and 2 nights we lay by there, eating our hearts out, bent with pain and bone-tired. When dawn with her lovely locks brought on the 3rd day, at last I took my spear and my sharp sword again, rushed up from the ship to find a lookout point, hoping to glimpse some sign of human labour, catch some human voices. I scaled a commanding crag and, scanning hard, I could just make out some smoke from Circe's halls, drifting up from the broad terrain through brush and woods. Mulling it over, I thought I'd scout the ground. That fire aglow in the smoke, I saw it true, but soon enough this seemed the better plan. I'd go back to shore, and the swift ship first, feed the men, then send them out for scouting. I was well on my way down, nearing our ship, when a god took pity on me, wandering all alone. He sent me a big stag with high branching antlers right across my path. The sun's heat forced him down from his